Well, good day and welcome to the Local Spotlight Show here at WJBM Studios in Jerseyville, Illinois, the voice of the Tri-County. With me today, my guest, he's right next to Superman, you know, the Man of Steel. I've got with me Jordan Steckel. Welcome, Jordan. How are you, Jordan?
Pretty good, everybody.
Jordan is an Ironman competitor, okay? And if you don't know what an Ironman is, we're going to get to that here in a minute. But Jordan, you're a Steckel. There's a lot of Steckels around here. And you work at Steckel Produce.
Yep.
Yep. And Steckel Produce, your fourth generation.
That's right.
Yeah. How old are you?
I just turned 34.
Just turned 34. Now who's your dad? Which one?
My dad's Henry Steckel, which he doesn't work at Steckel Produce, but.
Uh-huh. And who runs the shop out there?
Denny.
Denny. Okay.
He's my uncle.
Okay. And you got a few other Steckels working out there, don't you?
We've got my cousin Dale, and then we've got my brother Andy, and we've got my other uncle Joe.
Okay. And you guys all work together, and you have a good time together?
Some days.
Yeah. Do you ever get into some little bit of fisticuffs out there?
You could say that.
Oh, really? Like throw a bag of potatoes at you?
You might.
Fourth generation. Now, did you know Bob and Helen, your grandparents?
Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely.
Like, I know they passed away. Helen passed away a few years ago.
Yeah. My grandpa actually died on my 24th birthday, so I knew him pretty well.
Oh, good. Yeah. I knew him well, too. Years ago, when I first started the varsity club, I'd go in there, and I don't know if this is how I remember your grandpa, Bob. He'd be sitting there behind the desk, and he had a big old stogie sticking out the side of his mouth. And I'd walk in, okay, what do you want? You know, and you'd write it down and, you know, get it for you. You probably don't know this, but my mother is 92 going on 93. And my dad passed away years ago, but he would have been 93. And your grandparents, Bob and Helen, stood up for my parents when they got married.
Oh, is that right?
At St. Francis Church. Many, many moons ago. But we've always had a relationship. Bob was a great guy, and your grandmother Helen was a sweet lady.
Yeah, she was a saint.
She was. My mother loved her. She just loved Helen. With the Steckel Produce, man, it's grown and grown over the years, hasn't it?
It has.
Yeah, like we were talking before we did this interview. And you just built, like, this humongous freezer?
Yep, a brand new freezer.
Yeah, and, is it like 3,000 square feet or something?
I would say so. I'm not exactly sure, but I'm sure it's close to that.
You know, when you have that big a freezer, is there ever any chance that you ever are going to fill it up or not? Is there room in there still?
You'd be surprised. It gets pretty full.
Yeah? Now it's still getting full?
I mean, we have room, but it's pretty full.
Yeah. And do you have trailer trucks coming there, or do you go get food?
They mainly bring it to us. I just left there for lunch. We had a truck backing in full of fish, so they come every day.
And every day you're getting a load?
Pretty much, yeah.
So
something different every day.
So that must mean that you're moving a load out every day too.
Yeah, we get a big truck every Thursday morning at 5 a.m. is our biggest one. But
now you guys at Steckel Produce, you handle dry goods, frozen goods, refrigerated goods, and paper products.
Yep, pretty much anything a restaurant would order. If we don't stock it, I'm sure we could get it.
Do you sell to any others besides restaurants?
We do. We do a lot of hospitals, gas stations, and then we also do retail, so anyone can walk in and get anything.
Yeah, you know, it's great for if somebody's throwing a big party.
We get a lot of graduation parties or, like, this time of year, cookouts. We sell a lot of frozen hot dogs, pulled pork and stuff like that, like chicken salad, easy stuff to put together for
a
party.
You know, I myself are going on sort of a different type of diet, you know? Mm-hmm. And I was just wondering, as we're talking here, could a person get salmon? Could you get frozen salmon?
We can, yeah. We can get frozen salmon fillets.
Yeah. You can get about anything, can't you?
Pretty much, yeah.
So if someone was wanting to go on a different type of diet.
We get a lot of calls, like people that'll go gluten-free will call and see what we have, what we can get without gluten and stuff like that. So yeah, we can get different specialty items.
Yeah. And, if you're wanting specialty items, if you're on a special diet, you'd be the place to go to, wouldn't it?
That's right.
Yeah. Now you say you do paper products. So mm-hmm. Are you talking just...
Styrofoam cups, plates, like the to-go containers we sell a lot of. Just stuff that you don't even really think about that restaurants go through.
Uh-huh. Inventory must... I know you are the office manager, uh-huh. right? I mean, you must have an inventory that's out of this, like, 10 pages long, huh?
We got a price sheet that's 52 pages long, so.
That's a lot of stuff. And you've grown to, like you said, about 150 customers that you have, customers or big-ticket customers.
Right.
Yeah. And how far do you deliver? How far do you sell?
Pretty much a 45 to 60 mile radius around here.
Okay. And deliveries every day but Sunday?
Every day, even some Sundays.
Oh, really? How about Saturdays?
We just do around Jerseyville on Saturdays, but.
What I loved about Steckel Produce when I was in the restaurant business is the daily deliveries. You know, mm-hmm. you can get a delivery every day, and you can't necessarily get that with other companies from St. Louis, and you can't get it. I mean, if you're in Grafton, you deliver there a couple times a week, maybe?
Pretty much every day.
Oh, every day too? Yeah. Everything? Yeah. Well, they got a lot of restaurants down there. Okay. So it is really nice getting, you know, when you're in the business, for us, we didn't, you know, all those items that you have, as you know, sitting on the shelf in the coolers, in the freezers, and in dry goods, all that is cash sitting on the shelves.
Yep.
And if you have a business like yours where you can get things, you know, every day, every other day, or whatever, just when you need it, that is the good way to do it.
Yeah, it makes things a lot easier.
Because it doesn't go bad, and it doesn't walk out the door, you know. So that was always our philosophy, and we loved it. And you guys are a family operation. Great people, great business, and we're very lucky to have Steckel Produce in the whole Tri-County area. But now let's get on to you, all right? Mr. Iron Man. All right, an Iron Man. Now tell me what an Iron Man race is.
It starts out with a 2.4-mile swim, and then it's a 112-mile bike ride, and then a full marathon, 26.2.
A full marathon after all that.
Yep.
Woo! Gosh dang. And I know you're training for it, but when you go to do that, okay, now how many have you competed in?
Two.
You can, and you got one? You got a half of one coming up? Is that it?
I've got a half in 2 weeks in Springfield, yeah.
Okay. So there's the full marathon, like you said, mm-hmm. And then there's a half, which...
distance would be 1.2-mile swim, and then 56-mile bike ride, and then a half marathon, 13.1 miles.
Okay. And then you say there's two other competitions.
And then we've got the Olympic, which I've done four or five of those. That is a 1,500-meter swim, and then a 40K bike, which is like 25 miles.
Okay.
And then a 10K, which is a little over 6 miles.
Okay. And then you finally have the baby
sprint,
marathon.
Which I've never done a sprint, but it's 750-meter swim, 12-mile bike ride, and a 5K.
Yeah. Did all the old guys go with that one, the Olympic?
Yeah, mainly.
They bring their walkers.
You'll see all sorts of body sizes, body types, ages at these races. I mean, it's not just for people that are there to win it. It's for everybody, really.
So what type of person gets in an Ironman contest?
Someone crazy, I guess. You really do see all types of people there. It's not just like the super competitive, super like type A people. You see them all.
Yeah. I interviewed Brian Hamm A couple weeks ago, he ran his first marathon and getting ready to run another one. It must be addicting. I don't know.
It is. It's hard to just do one. I know that.
What's so addicting about it?
After I did my first one, I thought I would just stick to half distances. And then there I was signing up for another full a few weeks later. So it's hard to say. It's just you get the bug and it's just something about the full distance. I don't know.
Okay. Now, what's the history? How did that start?
From what I know, like back in the 1980s, there was a couple guys in Hawaii. One was a swimmer, one was a biker, and one was a cyclist. And they were fighting over who the best athlete was.
Uh-huh.
So they put together a race with swimming, biking, and running. And that just happened to be the distances from like one island to another or something.
Okay.
So that ended up being kind of, the distance kind of stuck, and that's what kind of turned into the full Ironman distance.
Do you got any idea when that first started? How many years ago?
I'm thinking in the early 80s.
But oh, yeah?
I'm not sure.
That close, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, you ran your first one how long ago?
That was in 22, just after COVID.
Oh, yeah? So during COVID, you got bored and you started running, or what? What got you into even thinking about running an Ironman contest?
It started with just running. I just started running, just kind of bored. I quit drinking, too, so that was just kind of something that filled in my time, really.
Well, that's a big switch.
Yeah.
Drinking's definitely a lot easier. Did you think, okay, I'm not going to drink anymore and I'm going to eat right?
Not really. I was just kind of cutting back on the drinking, and then I started running, and then the two lifestyles just did not really mesh. And I wanted to run a sub 4-hour marathon, really, was what my goal was. So then I decided I would stop drinking until I did that. And I did that, and then I wasn't done yet, so I just decided I wanted to do something better or harder. And then what really got me into triathlon was I was doing the running thing, and then I started watching videos online, and I came across Lionel Sanders, and he's a pro triathlete. And I knew nothing about triathlon at the time.
Uh-huh.
And just watching a few of his videos, which was like watching the workouts that he did was just insane. Like 110 degree weather. He's in Arizona, and he's just the run workouts he was doing. I didn't even know it was possible.
Yeah.
And so after watching a few of that for about a week or so, I didn't even have a bike and I didn't know how to swim, but I
You didn't know how to swim?
Not at all.
You're kidding. Oh my gosh.
So then I actually signed up for my first Ironman without ever doing a triathlon at all. And then I went to the pool and realized how hard swimming was. And knew what I was in for.
So have you adapted to swimming? You learned how to swim?
Yeah,
well?
I mean, when I first started, I was going every day for like 2 months. And that took a long time just to get to where you could actually start doing swim workouts.
Okay.
But right now I'm to where I can swim. I can do it fine. I mean, I'm not the fastest guy out there, but I can definitely get through an Ironman swim.
Okay. Well, speaking of that, when you do an Ironman, are you thinking times? I mean, do you want... Is there like, you say, okay, I'm going to do this in a certain amount of time for the swimming, certain amount of time for the biking, et cetera?
There is, yeah. Well, for one, there's cutoffs at certain points. So for the swim, you get 2 hours and 20 minutes. And for myself, my personal goal is as long as I'm under an hour and a half, then I'm pleased with it. My first one was an hour 27, and my second one...
And how far are we swimming again? Remind me.
2.4 miles.
2.4 miles in an hour and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then the second time I was an hour and 25, so I went the right way anyways. I got a little faster.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And then with the biking, you said you never biked before, really.
Not since I was a kid, no.
Yeah.
I didn't even own a bike. Luckily, Ben Getten actually let me borrow his for my first one.
Uh-huh.
And then I ended up buying a new one after I realized I was going to stay with it. But
So with the biking... 100 or how many miles?
112.
What kind of a timeline is that?
It took me 6 hours and 40 minutes.
Yeah.
So
you're swimming for an hour and a half. Mm-hmm. Then you ride a bike for another 6 hours and 40 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You get off that, and now you've got to run another 23 and a quarter miles. Is that
26.2.
correct? 26.2. Oh, 26.2. Now, what are you thinking then? I mean, when you get off that bike, I mean, at least with bike, you can coast. You can pedal.
You'd think so. I mean, the main thing.
Do they let you do like an electric bike? I see these guys whipping around town on these electric bikes. I can maybe do that.
I'd make it a lot easier. The main thing is to stay positive in your head. Like, it's most of it's just mental, especially going that long. You go through so many ups and downs through a 112-mile bike ride that, I mean, you just got to remember when you're in a deep hole, you're going to come out of it and you'll get back on top.
What do you mean, deep hole? Explain that.
Some people call it the pain cave, whenever you're just hurting real bad and don't think you can't go anymore. You just got to keep pushing and you'll get out of it.
Typically, when do you experience that deep hole, that pain cave?
Multiple times. I mean, it just depends.
When have you experienced it? At what mile mark?
The worst I've ever had it, the scariest time is I got off the bike and I was doing fine. And as like an example, it can change so fast. Like, I was doing fine, changing into stuff to run, and all of a sudden the guy next to me was talking about how hot he was and how hot it was. And then I realized, oh my God, it is hot. And then I realized I have to run 26 miles. And then just like that, you can snap and your mind can go in the gutters. And then you just got to find a way to get out of it.
So your mind, you were thinking about the question, like, maybe I don't want to do this. Maybe I'm going to quit.
And there's other times, like on the bike, I mean, you'll be struggling. Your legs will be hurting. You look down at your bike computer and you still got 50 miles to go. And then you might pass like a family member. When I was in Texas, I had both my parents, my mom's husband, my dad's girlfriend, and my sister Heidi. And I remember my stomach was hurting, and then I looked over and I see all them cheering me on, and that can change your mind in a hurry too. I mean,
that's cool.
There's no idea. I mean, you can't explain how much that helps.
That gives you just an adrenaline rush or something.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, just like the runner's high. It's like that kind of feeling.
Yeah. Now you get to that point. You get off the bike, and you start. You got the same gear on. Change shoes.
The last one I did change clothes. You can change into running gear. This time I don't think I'm going to, but I haven't really quite decided.
Okay. So you change into running gear. I mean, how are you feeling on that when you're taking off running? You're already zapped, right?
You're cooked, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you're cooked, and you're going to do 26 miles. I mean, how do you cope with that?
Like I said, it's mainly in your head. I mean, you have to stay positive in your head or else you're not going to make it.
Okay. So... you get going on it, but I just don't see how that's almost physically possible, but
I mean, they say it's 100% mental except for the physical part.
Funny. Yes. So, what did you end up doing your 26 miles in?
It took just over 5 hours, which my goal was under 4.5. My A goal was to finish the entire thing under 13 hours. And my second goal was to finish the marathon under 4.5 hours, which I didn't do either of, but I'm still very happy.
You finished.
Right.
What percentage of people don't finish?
It kind of varies race from race. The first one I did in Wisconsin, I didn't finish because it was 40 degrees outside and raining the entire time.
Okay.
And I made it to about mile 78 on the bike, and I was hypothermic, and I mean, I couldn't take it anymore. And that one, 40% didn't finish, but in an average Ironman, like in Texas, I did, I think like 75-80% finished.
Okay. Was that the last one you did? Was in Texas. Okay. This one that you're going to do, where's that going to be?
The next Ironman's in November in Florida.
Okay. What will the swimming part be? Are you be swimming in the ocean?
That
in a
one
pool?
Will be in the ocean. Yeah, okay. It goes out around a pier, then you come back and you do 2 laps of it. And I've never done an ocean swim, so I'm looking forward to that. That's kind of why I picked Florida.
Okay, and in the others, you were swimming in
Texas was a lake.
A lake.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then do they ever do them in pools? Pools, you'd almost have to have a lake, wouldn't you?
Yeah, there's some local ones with pools, but I kind of stay away from those and try to attend.
Yeah, that's too much back and forth. Yeah.
Right.
I bet you'll find the ocean one interesting, you know, just with the big waves trying to swim through
that. Yeah, it'll definitely be different. It will be.
And the salt water.
And they say it's full of jellyfish, too. So.
Oh, no. And then with the run, can you get water and stuff? Or through the whole thing, are you able
to? Yeah, that's the good thing about the Ironman brand races. They have, like on the bike, they have an aid station like every 15 miles or so.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the run, they have one every mile. So that's one thing too. You can kind of think, let's do this, get this mile over with, get to the next aid station, rest or, you know, kind of recoup and then.
So is it, the next is one. It common in this race, whether you're going water, bike, or land, is it common to take breaks? Is it okay? I mean, people are.
People do. You'll see some people actually get off their bike sometimes and stretch if they're having problems or stuff like that.
Uh-huh. So will you take a break swimming in this one coming up?
Not in the swim, no.
Okay. How about in the bike? Will you take a break there?
I'll probably stop once or twice at an aid station to refill my water bottles and to refill. You'll take like sugar and salt and I'll have to refill the bottles.
Uh-huh.
I should be able to get away with just stopping once.
Okay. And with the run, what are you thinking as far as the 26 miles?
If everything goes to plan, I would walk the aid stations and then run the rest. So.
Walk the aid stations.
Yeah, so you kind of run in between the aid stations. You get there, walk through, get all your stuff, you know, put water over your head, do what you got to do.
And then do another mile.
Right.
And then do another mile.
Yep.
Well, that makes sense. So do you have any friends or anybody that's running with you?
I do not.
you do it all by yourself?
So far it's been all alone, yep.
Okay. How about the training? How do you train for something like this?
It's mainly about consistency, really, day in, day out. I follow a training plan off of Training Peaks, which is online, where it sends like every workout straight to my watch, so I don't have to worry about setting my own workouts or anything like that.
Okay.
So that takes a lot of the work out of it, really.
Now, I saw you at the Wellness Center last Sunday. Okay. Now, you're training swimming there. Now, how long would you swim? How long do you usually swim in your training?
Typically, well, I try to swim 4 to 5 times a week, bike 3 to 4 times a week, and then run 3 times a week.
Okay.
And then each session, like a swim usually takes about an hour, maybe a little over an hour. Biking, I try to do throughout the week, I do three different sessions, about an hour apiece. And then on the weekend, get in a long ride, which is anywhere from 3 to 5 hours. And then on the run, I run the least because that's where.
If okay, whenever you're biking, where do you ride at your bike? Where's a safe place for you to ride and train?
A lot of it's indoors, unfortunately.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
You just on a machine?
Yeah, it's called a trainer. You put your real bike on, and then there's an app called Zwift. It's like a virtual.
Okay.
So virtual cycling. So there's other people around, and you can do workouts with other people and ride with other people.
All right.
If I ride outside, a lot of times I like to ride to Grafton. From my house, there you can catch some hills around Grafton.
Mm-hmm.
I'll ride around there, and then I'll go to Grafton Amoco, get a bite to eat, and then head home.
Do you ever ride the bike route from Grafton from Alton to?
Well, I get on the bike route. I'll ride like through Elsa, and then get on the bike route through there to Grafton, and then kind of ride through there.
I see. Yeah.
And then for the longer rides outside, I'll go to Edwardsville, and they've got some really nice bike paths down there.
I see. And running. Where do you run at around here?
Last night I went out to Walk Lake because I don't like carrying my own water and nutrition. So I like to, it's like a 0.8 lap around that. So I like to just keep a water around.
So your training wise for this marathon, how many miles will you run a week to train?
Running right now, anywhere from 25 to 30 is all.
Okay. Not much.
No, the main thing is the bike, really.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Why
because
is that?
You spend the most time on the bike, and by training the bike, you can cut off the most time. Okay. If you improve your swim, you might improve by 10 minutes or so, but if you improve your bike, you're talking maybe a half an hour, something like that.
I see.
And the run, I'm more confident in, too, so I'll up the running when it gets closer time to the Ironman, but right now, especially just having a half coming up, I can do a half marathon a lot easier than I can.
And you said that your contest is 2 weeks away.
That's
right?
A half, yep.
Or on the half, yeah.
And the way I'm kind of doing it this year is I've got this half in 2 weeks, which I'm kind of looking at as like a training day. And then I've got another half at the end of August, which I'm going to take a little more serious and try to gauge where I'm at and then know what I need to kind of work on for the full Ironman.
So when is your big full Ironman, the next one?
That one is November 2nd. So I've got.
And where's that going to be? It's going to be in Florida.
Florida, yep.
Florida, right. Okay. Well, that sounds like a lot of hard work to me, but...
I enjoy it.
So you enjoy it. All right, that is cool. What do you like about it? What's the joy? Where's the joy come from?
I mean, sometimes I'll be dreading it even. I'll not look forward to the workout. And as soon as I get a mile in, it's like, I don't know what I was dreading. I mean, sometimes it takes a mile to get there, but it's just some feeling that I get. I mean, I'm chasing endorphins. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Just accomplishing something. I mean.
Yeah. I mean, just crossing the finish line. I'll do like some small running races throughout the winter just to kind of keep up on running. And it's just feels good to finish a race. I love to race.
Okay. Any advice out there for anybody listening, whether they're anybody young or old? There's really not an age limit on this, right?
No, I mean, I was getting beat by some old people on the last Ironman I did.
So, what's your advice to anybody thinking about maybe doing something like this?
Just to be consistent, really. It's not about doing like big, hard workouts. It's just about doing something small every day and building fitness, really.
Would you say that's maybe some good advice for anybody just to live?
That's very true. You get a lot of life lessons training for Ironman too, I will say that.
Yeah. I can see that. I hear that, you know, I was talking to a lady, 94 years old, okay, just last Sunday. And she's, I'll tell you who she is. Ginger Gass. You know,
okay,
Ginger?
Yeah.
Ginger's 94. She's she's running around and driving, and she's happy, and she's got it together. And I had to stop and ask her. I go, Ginger, how are you doing this? Because I know she's the same age as my mom, you know, and she's got so much energy, you know, and it's just so happy. And she said, well, you know, she goes, I exercise, you know, and I eat right. And I don't necessarily go to the doctor if I just get, you know, a cut on my finger. You know, I try taking care of myself. And she said, I'm spiritual. I have faith, you know, and that helps me a lot. And so does that play a part in you at all? Any spirituality in this running?
Not really.
No,
no.
No. I just didn't know. Well, Jordan, thank you so much for coming in.
No, thank you.
And I'll be looking forward to hearing about the race, and I'll honk at you.
Yeah.
if I see you running.
If you see me on the bike and I'm in front of you, I'm sorry.
All right. Well, thanks for coming in. Appreciate it. And I know you got to get back to Steckel Produce and keep things going up there.
Yep.
All right. Take care.
Yep. Thanks.